Book of Luke, the 22nd chapter, and the 32nd verse, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." Now, the sentence just before that, he says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Now, the Lord is teaching us here that we need to understand a mystery. He says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." There was a time that Peter rebuked the Lord, and the Lord says, "Get behind me, Satan." There was another time that that Peter said, "Lord, should we pray that fire come down from heaven, because they have refused to receive you?" He had his face set as though he would go to Jerusalem, and they refused to receive him. And Peter wanted to pray for fire to come down and consume him. And Jesus said, "You know not what manner of spirit you are." Signifying that there's a lesson that Peter needed to know, and he needed to understand before he'd be profitable to the church. Even as an apostle. Now the church, they listened to what the apostles preached, and they went home and got their Bibles out, and their Bibles didn't consist of nothing but the law and the prophets and the Psalms. But they got them out and read the scriptures to see if what they had preached was so before they swallowed it. Jesus says, "Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good," signifying you got to discard what ain't good. And there's a many a child of God that's willing to prove what is good, but they're mighty careful how they discard what they've done. Because of our carnal nature, lusting after things of the flesh and of the world, the things that satisfy the flesh and the carnal mind, we're very slow to give up the things that have been proven to be corrupt and unclean and sinful, and what the child of God don't have any need of. Now here's the apostle. He's got a problem, but he don't understand it. He told the Lord, he said, "I'll go with you even to death." And the Lord said, "Before the cock crows, you'll deny me thrice." So Peter didn't understand his problem. He didn't understand all the things he was going to be confronted with as an apostle and preaching the gospel. But listen to what Jesus said is necessary before he can strengthen the brethren, before his ministry is going to be profitable to the gospel church. Now Peter already understood the law. He knew what was in the law. He knew what circumcision was. He knew what the Jews had. But everything was brand new in the kingdom of God. He had something to learn. And brethren, we've got something to learn, and we're praying that God teach us by the Holy Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of truth, that God teach us what we've got in the kingdom of God, in the gospel church that God has grafted us in, that we might bear the fruits that national Israel failed to bear, that we might glorify God and give him all the honor and the praise and the glory. Give him the preeminence in all things, at all times, that we might be disciples, true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just the believer, not just the hearer of the Word, but a doer of the work, that we might be true disciples. Now, if we think that the church and the kingdom of God is just for our use and our profit, brethren, we've missed the point. God says that he's teaching Peter here, he needs to be worth something to the church, not just himself, not just for him to understand the mystery of the gospel and the kingdom of God, but Jesus is calling him to edify the church. To strengthen the brethren. Now, how is he going to strengthen them? Why, if he had got up there and quoted the law, he wouldn't have been no strength. He couldn't have strengthened the church quoting the law and all of the duties under the law, lest he interpret, lest he say that it's fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Except that he interpret, he'd have been speaking in tongues, and the church wouldn't have understood. They wouldn't have been edified if Peter had brought what the Jews had, if he had brought what the statutes and the oracles and the commandments and the Ten Commandments, the First Covenant, if he had just brought all that and tried to give it to the Gentiles, except that he had had the grace of God to interpret it and preach what it meant spiritually to the spiritually born child of God, even the spiritual Israelite. That's what we become. When God grafted us into the gospel church, we become the spiritual Israelite. I couldn't have been born one of the sons of Jacob or the sons of Israel. I couldn't have been born of one of those 12 tribes of Israel to become a national Israelite. But I thank God, being born of the Spirit of God, we are born spiritual Israelites. Now in this he says, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." Now, faith is a mystery. He said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is Jesus Christ. And faith is something you can handle and something you can feel. It's something that a child of God can sink his teeth into. He can do a gospel day's labor by it. And it's not a mythical thing, it's something that's real. Faith is a substance. Faith is the evidence. Signifying God's giving you something to work with. He's giving you something to labor with. He's giving you grace and power in the Lord Jesus Christ to do the good works that God has ordained us to do. Now here's the apostle, Jesus saying, "I've prayed that thy faith fail not," signifying that God gives faith. Says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So he's teaching us that faith is of God and a gift of God, a blessing of God. He commands us to add to faith, but faith itself is a gift of God. Now he's saying here to the apostle Peter, he's saying here that I pray that thy faith fail not, signifying God's going to grant him a sufficient amount of grace for the thing that he's going to be confronted with. God's not going to fail him. But he's telling Peter, be careful you don't fail. I pray that your faith fail not, now you don't fail. Now that's what Jesus is telling the apostle, that he's going to grant him grace sufficient, but whether he uses that grace, whether he profits from it, it's going to be up to the apostle. Then he says, after thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Now, to be converted is just like a lock on a door there. That ain't a thing wrong with a lock, ain't a thing wrong with a door. But if that thing's closed and it's locked, all you need to understand is what the key is and how to put it in there and how to unlock it. And brethren, when God's talking about that we must be converted before we're going to strengthen the brethren in the gospel church, we need to understand the mystery of what he means to be converted. Now he gives us an example of how this being converted is. He gives us an example like this. He said they had the word, when he said they, he's talking about national Israel. He said they had the word preached to them, but it didn't profit them because they failed to mix it with faith. Boy, you're talking about being converted. Now, well, listen to how God describes being converted. He says by the mouth of Jesus Christ, he says that he's going to have the truth preached to the spiritual Israelite, that he may be turned from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Signifying there's got to be some converting going on. He's going to turn us from darkness to light and from the power of Satan by the Word of God, provided we eat it, provided that we use it, provided that we exercise in it. Now, when the child of God's following the carnal nature, he's going away from the light. He's going directly straight toward darkness. Now, when God blesses by the Holy Comforter for the gospel to be preached, and God puts the truth there in front of the child of God, he's got to turn around to get it. He's got to turn from darkness and from sin, and he's got to turn toward God, who is the light, and he's got to turn loose of darkness in order to take a hold of light, the truth. Now, when he does that, when God feeds him the truth, and by a willing mind and a willing heart, he turns from the error of his way, and he turns to the way, which is Jesus Christ, the Word of God turns him. But he does it by obedience of faith. He turns from the falling after sin to falling righteousness, to doing the works of the obedience of faith. And each time that God puts the truth in front of him, he has to move a little bit further and a little bit further each time God puts it in front of him, till he's got him walking straight directly toward the light. And the scripture comes to pass that God will turn us from darkness unto light. But now he said he's also going to turn us from the power of Satan unto God. Now in this scripture he says, when thou art converted, signifying we need to understand what's gone wrong. Why did he say, Peter, you don't understand what manner of spirit you are? Why is he saying, you get behind me, Satan? Why is he saying that to Peter? The Lord's teaching us that Satan will influence this carnal nature, and he'll blind us, and he'll deceive us into yielding our members to use the power of Satan to sin. He says that when we leave this carnal nature to itself, it'll go right back to the vomit and the wallowing in the mire, because that's its nature. Its nature is to sin. And if we leave it to itself and we don't subdue it and bring it under subjection and bind it by the authority and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll go right back to sinning, just like it did before you had a work of grace. That carnal nature will put demands on a child of God, and if you don't overrule those demands, he says, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Greater is Christ that's in the inner man than Satan that's in the carnal man. The carnal nature. Greater is Christ that's in the inner man, the man of God. Greater is he than Satan that's in the carnal nature. Now God said, don't yield your members to serve sin. Don't yield your members to serve Satan, the lesser power. Why should the lesser power rule and reign in our mortal bodies? And he's saying, now yield our members unto the power of God, that we do the works of using that power, that we may glorify God in the obedience of faith. Now here's the Jew Here's the 12 tribes of Israel had the gospel preached to them by the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached unto his own received him not. Here they had the gospel preached to them, but it not being mixed with faith was not profitable to them. Now how was it that they should have mixed it with faith? They would have had to converted it. They would have had to put it to action and put it into practice. They would have had to believe it. They'd have had to walk in it by faith. And faith would have had to been alive by works. Faith is dead without works. But faith is alive by works. So there had to be some being converted. And national Israel failed to be converted. And because they failed to be converted, God cut them off from the gospel church. Now God grafted in the Gentile, and we being of a dual nature, God's saying to us that we need to be converted from the error of our way to the truth. We need to be converted from a carnal mind to the mind of Jesus Christ. We need to be converted from darkness, which is sin, to the glorious light of the truth. We need to be converted from the power of Satan to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that He gave us power to become sons of God, which were born, not of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Now, brethren, when He said He gave us power to become sons of God, He gave us power to become manifest sons of God. Now, if He says He give us power to become manifest sons of God, we're going to have to be converted. We're going to have to be converted from letting Satan use these members for a sin, and be converted and dedicate and see that every member of this body is commanded to use the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to do good works of faith. We got to mix the word that's preached with faith by works. Got to be converted. Now he says, strengthen the brethren. There ain't no way that we can tell our brothers and sisters what the scriptures mean if we haven't obeyed them. You can read them and they can read them. But you can't explain what it means until you've been converted from the error of your way and laid hold on eternal life, lay hold on the Word of God, and eat it and live by it and walk by it and use it unto perfection. He said, by reason of use, having their senses exercised, and that's what they preached on today, having their senses exercised to be able to discern both good and evil. And that exercising those five spiritual senses. If we didn't exercise our five natural senses, we'd have had a wreck before we ever got here tonight. Well, I could have closed my eyes and went down that road with that engine wide open, and I wouldn't have got very far. First time that road turned, I'd have kept going straight. And that'd have been the end of me. I had enough sense that I had to start using my five natural senses or I wasn't going to survive in this world. You've got to listen, you've got to touch, you've got to taste, you've got to look, you've got to hear, and you better use it skillfully or you're going to get maimed. You're going to be a cripple. You ain't going to be healthy. You ain't going to get much done. In fact, my employer would have fired me 1,000 times if I didn't become skillful at it. Boy, he means me to learn how to use it with skill. With skill. And in the gospel church, a child of God is a novice. If he don't use it skillfully, by reason of use, he's got to be up and about the master's business of taking the Word of God and the preached Word of God by the power and demonstration of the Holy Comforter and putting it into his mind and his heart and his members of his body and converting it to good works and produce some good works and them be perfected. He said he gave these gifts to the church for the perfecting of that which is lacking in our faith. Well, and God give us the faith, but there's something lacking in my faith. And that's my being converted. My being able to use it skillfully, that it may be profitable. Not just for me. That'd be greed. That'd be pure greed if all I thought there was in the gospel church was just for my comfort. Just for my satisfaction. God said for us to take these blessings and cement them one to another. Every joint, that which the joint supplies, even to cement it together, compact it together by that which every joint supplies, till it becomes in the unity of the body. One body, by reason of love. One body, by reason of the obedience of faith. That love and fellowship may flow from heart to heart and breast to breast. And ain't no way it can flow when you write a letter. You got to come. Right. Ain't no way to say, hi, Brother Hammond. Y'all doing fine down in Alabama? And it just won't flow. Them telephone lines just will not let it flow. And there ain't nothing wrong with them tapes. They're for the ones that ain't able to come. But God said we need to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, signifying we're going to have to do it in person. We're going to have to get with it. We're going to have to get involved in the gospel, in the word of God. Now he said, be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within you. And they come up and say, no, I don't understand, but here's the phone number of my preacher. And maybe he can tell you. I don't know what Old Baptist stands for, and I don't know what Old Baptist believes. I don't know what the Bible stands for. I don't know what Christ's doctrine is, much less the Old Baptist doctrine. Well, the Old Baptist doctrine better be Christ's doctrine.
Amen.
Otherwise, we ain't the true church. And if it ain't you line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, it must be perfect. He said, be ye perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. And there never was a lamb slain that had a blemish. God would have refused it, and he'd have poured out wrath on that person till you wouldn't have never forgotten it. Not one time did Israel dare slay a lamb that had a blemish. Why? Because God says, you see, it's perfect. You pick out the one that's perfect because the one that that's pointing to, one that that's a type of, he's a perfect redeemer, a perfect salvation. He's a perfect savior. He's absolute perfection. And now he says, we're the children of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're the promised children of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, the children are to have the same image. Same likeness, same skill, same everything as the one that they're born of. Even the strength. He's to have everything that he's born of, and we are born of the Spirit of God, and we have the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're to have his fullness in us, or else we don't measure up to the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, lots of children of God that spiritually are one-legged, one-armed, one-eyed, one-eared, lame, withered, and not aware of it. Never have looked in a mirror. Never have looked in God's mirror to see that we are halt and lame and crippled because of not being converted. God says, I'll not hear your prayers. Until you turn from that sin, you got to be converted. The Lord said to me, he said, your sins are hindering your prayers. And I was praying fervently, diligently, the same prayer over and over again, that I'd be an able minister, that I'd be a fruitful minister. And the Lord says, your sins are hindering your prayers. You're going to have to be converted. You're going to have to shuck them off. You're going to have to not make a league with none of them ites of that land. You can't make no league. You can't swear no oath to none of them. You got to kill them all. You can't leave none of them ites in the land. You ain't going to do no good going into Canaan land and crossing Jordan and being baptized and coming into the gospel church if you ain't going to drive out all the ites of the land. The Lord says, you slay, utterly slay everything that breathes. And they came down with their clotted boots and their molded bread and their tattered garments in front of the princes of Israel. And God done warned them, told them mouth to mouth, face to face, hand to hand. Said, anytime you get in trouble, call on me. Anytime you want to know anything, ask me, and I'll tell you. And what did them people do? They were the ikes of the land. The death sentence was on them. They knew the death sentence was on them. They knew God meant to have every one of them slain. The Israelites was to kill every last one of them. They didn't have nothing to lose. I'll tell you something. Satan ain't got nothing to lose. He's trying his best to rob me of the gospel church and all the joys of the gospel church. Any way, hook or crook, he can do it. Anything he can deceive me, if he can talk me into hanging on to just one of the eyes and failing to kill just one, it's going to cripple me that much in the preaching of the gospel. I'm going to lack that much of being able to study. I'm going to lack that much of being able to preach and able to learn, able to labor. And I'm going to be hindered that much in the amount of fruit that I bear in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Lord, he says, I'm going to keep on purging you. He says, if you will, that you will be a vessel under honor. And not just a vessel, but a vessel under honor in the gospel church. He said, first thing you got to do is purge all that hinders you, all that defiles you. Purge it with the truth. Purge it by converting, being converted, and mixing the word of God with faith. And purge it by doing the works of the obedience of faith. Purge it by works. Now, anybody can read the Bible. They can memorize. Some of them can memorize. I couldn't. That's my downfall. I tried it. I couldn't remember. I can't remember one verse from another. Can't quote it. And ask the Lord why. That worried me because I couldn't quote it. So the Lord gave me a dream. He showed me that big old wood pile out there back during the Depression. Well, I'm talking about the other Depression. Back in the 30s. And he showed a whole line of people coming across there, going to the wood bin with them sticks of wood. And now I come dragging up the rear, and all of them had four, five, six. Some of them had a dozen. And now I come dragging up the rear with one. And I asked the Lord, what did it mean? He said, you just take what I give you one at a time. Brethren, I thank God for one verse. I thank God for one verse. It's pure and it's rich and it's the meat of the doctrine. It's the sincere milk of the word. It's all I need. It's all I need. And the Lord says, now, all them prayers you've been praying been hindered. He said, it's my will that you offer an offering in righteousness. That you be a clean vessel. That you be a purged vessel. I never will forget being in the army. And they had run out of soap. And I went back there in the back and got a bar of that GI soap. And I don't you know I had some hair the day before that. I had a full head of hair. But that lye soap took hair, hide, and all off of me. I never knew what the word purge meant until I got a hold of that bar of lye soap that the army had. Now, brethren, God's telling us that it's going to take some strong medicine before we're going to be any good to the gospel church. Before we can strengthen the brethren, we're going to have to purge ourselves with the truth. Every time I take a glass, I set it up there and it's dirty. And I look at it, and ain't no way I can clean it till I find something to put in it and wash it out. And ain't no way a child of God can cleanse this vessel to become a vessel unto honor till he has something that'll cleanse it. And ain't nothing gonna cleanse it but the truth. He ain't got nothing in the world that'll cleanse him. Ain't nothing gonna cleanse him but the truth, and he's gotta take a hold of the truth, lay hold on eternal life. He's got to drink it, swallow it, eat it. He's got to take it into his life till it changes his very appearance. Till he starts to look Christ-like. Takes on the likeness of Christ. It'll change his voice. Talking about these kids' voice changing at a certain age, and they begin to, their voice will squeak and they'll go up and down when they start going through that age and their voice starts changing. Brother, you start eating the gospel, you start eating the word of God, and your voice will go to changing, and that harshness and that bitterness is going to start turning sweet. And the church will say, oh, I want you to come see me. I want to be with you. I want to hear some more of them gracious words. I want to hear the sweetness of the Word of God. Just speak on. Speak on. You got another voice. You've got a sweetened voice. God has sweetened it with His gracious Holy Spirit, the Holy Comforter. Your voice changed. Now there's something else going to change. Brethren, I watched where my feet was going. And the Lord says, you just ain't giving yourself wholly. You're just not putting all of it into it. I was praying, and the Lord answered my prayer, and He said, you ain't crying hard enough. Boy, you're talking about shaking you up, getting you out of bed. That'll wake you up out of a sound sleep. When the Lord says, you ain't crying hard enough. And I was praying about bridling that old tongue. I'd done seen the bridle. But every time I'd bridle up that old carnal nature, I'd leave the bit out. And it didn't dawn on me that I wasn't putting the bit in place. He put the bit in place and tied the bridle to the bit, and that tongue can't sound a word. It can't say a corrupt word. It can't say a defiled word or an unclean word. All it can do is groan. And then let the inner man, the man of God, come forth and speak gracious words. Gracious words. Deny the carnal nature. He says deny him. He says mortify him. Embalm him with the truth. Embalm him. I kept praying. Never did quit praying. I said, Lord, I'm still falling short. I still hadn't won my victory. I still hadn't overcome. I'm praying for all 18 blessings that He said in the book of Revelation that He'd give to him that overcometh. I counted them out and wrote them out and spelled them out and memorized them best I could. And I looked back and I said, I ain't got none of them. I said, Lord, something gone wrong. I hadn't got on one of them 18 blessings that you promised to them. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh. Here's one that when we are converted, we win the victory and we overcome when we are converted. Now you're talking about beginning to do some good works. You're talking about becoming profitable in the gospel church. When God says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, that means half of that mind ain't no good. It means both halves ain't no good. He said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, signifying I ain't even got a mind that's any good. But the apostle says, but we have the mind of Christ. That's the only mind that's any good for a child of God. All these others are corrupt. One of them's the lust of the flesh and one of them's worldly. They're both unstable. If that's all I had, ain't no wonder that my prayers was running amiss. And I never did. The Lord didn't see fit to answer none of them. Because I wasn't converted. I just like the apostle. The apostle needed to be converted before he could strengthen the brethren. Converted from the carnal nature and his weakness to the power of God. He said that he was blessed. He was glorified. When man was weak, he'd call on God then. He'd call on God then. Now, how much do we lack of being converted tonight? Now, the Lord says, you have not because you ask not. How rich are we? in the kingdom of God. The Lord told me about that graft. He said, I've grafted you in that you might bear the fruit that national Israel failed to bear. And that was the obedience of faith. Very thing that they was to mix the word of God and mix it with faith and produce the fruits. Now God says, I've grafted you in. But he said, you need to understand that graft. He said, if that graft don't take, that limb's going to die. The mother tree's going to keep that on growing. But he said, if that graft don't take, it'll die. And a child of God, if he don't, in a gospel sense, if that graft don't take and that bond take and he grow and become one in works of obedience of faith, one in the truth, he becomes one with the Lord Jesus Christ. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. One in faith, doctrine, faith, and practice. One in the Word of God. One in the fullness of God. One in all that's in Christ is in that that was grafted in. When the bond, when that graft takes, then it's no longer two, it's one. And he said, it's time for us to be married unto Christ gospelly. To be married to him. That we become one in the obedience of faith. Now, the scripture teaches us that God has blessed us with sufficient faith. And now God saying to us to pray that God teach us how to use faith. Teach us the mystery of faith. Teach us how to use the Word of God. How to mix the preached word with faith that we might produce the works of the obedience of faith. Now Jesus said, I do always those things that please him. When Enoch was translated, the prophecy was this, that he pleased God. And God suffered him not to have to see death. God took him. He said that when the corn was full ripe, that immediately the sickle was put in. Brethren, you just get the job done. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about me. When we get the job done of being converted and the fruit come full ripe and God put the sickle in, brethren, it's time for the church to go to eating. It's time for the banquet. It's time for the banquet. It's time to rejoice because now you've got something to strengthen the brethren with. You've got something. You've come to full ripe. You've grown and you've been nurtured and watered with the pure river of water of life, even the gospel, the word of God. You've been strengthened with the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been covered with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, even the righteousness of faith. And you've begun to walk in it. You've begun to think about it. You've begun to think with the mind of Christ. You begin to pray prayers that God says, here I am. When does he say that? When a man don't seek his own words, nor his own will, nor his own ways. But he looks for God and the Word of God. Now, what did he say? It was said of Enoch that he pleased God. Jesus said, I always do those things that please him, the Father. Now, you see what the job is when that little plant's planted in the kingdom of God and we're trees of righteousness. And Jesus come along and says, here's one that ain't bearing no fruit. Cut it down. And the servant said, Lord, bless me to dig around it and dung it for yet another year. And then if it don't bear no fruit, Lord, you cut it down. And he didn't say the servant had to cut it down neither. He said, Lord, you cut it down. What he's saying? From beginning tonight. If you ain't got a Bible, hop your automobile and go buy one. If you ain't got a Bible, if you ain't never read it all the way through, the Lord says, turn on the light and read all night long and do like I did. I said, Lord, how can I do it? How can I read it all to find out what's in there that we're supposed to be doing to please you? And the Lord says, there were 66 books in that Bible. Did you read one book every night? And in the end of 66 nights, he said, you will have read it all. And I said, Lord, I can't understand it. He said, yeah, but to grow in it. Just back up to the door and put a little mark over your head. And then the next time you go all the way back through it, mark it again and see if you've grown in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do you know and how do we know tonight what pleases God until we read the Word of God, the printed Word, and pray for God to teach us what it says, what it means? It's just like National Israel said when they lost the copy of the law, and they told Ezra and Nehemiah, they said, don't just read it to us, teach us the sense of it, so we can do it. And that's what we come up to the house of God tonight for, to worship God and pray to God that He bless the servants, the ministers to come and preach it to us, the sense of the Word of God, so we can do it. So we can find out what pleases God. And how do we know what we're supposed to be up and about the Master's business? How do we know what we're supposed to be doing if we don't know what it takes to please God? And I asked God in a prayer, I said, Lord, what is it that pleases God? He says, Jesus is my good pleasure. And you talk about coming out of that bed? I couldn't hardly breathe. He said, Jesus is my good pleasure. And if you want to know what pleases me, you hunt Jesus. You seek Him day and night. You feel for Him. You diligently search for Him. Believe in God's a rewarder of them that diligently seek. And brethren, I believe He's every bit He says He is. I believe He'll turn rivers of He said, peace will run like a river. Yeah, in your heart and in your life. He'll prosper you. He told Joshua just before he crossed Jordan to go over into the land of Canaan and drive out the ites of the land. And I prayed the same prayer. I said, Lord, how am I going to ever be working the thing of the church? How am I going to strengthen the brethren? I didn't know nothing about what it took to be converted. What did he tell Joshua? He said, you obey my voice and keep my commandments and do my holy will and you'll have good success. Good success. He says, I'll send my angel before you and I'll put my dread and my fear upon the enemy and I'll drive out the heights of the land. And all you've got to do is come along and cut their heads off and bury them. Just like I command you. You still got to fight. They Israel never was a time that they just still didn't have to fight. Even the one that has the pitchers and the candle and the trumpets. You think they didn't have a weapon? Thank God that they had a weapon better than a bow and an arrow. They had something better than a spear. They had something better than a sword. He said, the sword of Gideon, the sword of the Lord. And then when they shouted and they blew the trumpets and break the pitcher, that's this pitcher. Break this one that the light of God may shine out. And that's the only thing that will put the enemy to flight is the Word of God. It's a two-edged sword that cuts between soul and spirit and the joints of the marrow. He said that it'll divide asunder the sword. He said, put on the whole armor of God. Put it all on. Don't just hang it up in your bedroom and say, ain't that a pretty antique? Ain't that pretty? Why, that's an antique. The old Baptist been passing that down for all these years. When are we going to wear it? God says, sleep in it. One time I had to sleep in my uniform. Couldn't take my shoes off. Couldn't take my weapons off. Had to sleep in my uniform. With a fully clothed, fully with everything I had on, even my backpack. Had to lay down and sleep with everything on. Now that's the way God says, do. He said, work with one hand and hold the sword in the other. You talking about a peaceful, joyful time in the gospel church? You have the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you labor with love, and you use the sword of the Spirit. Use the Word of God on yourself first. Yes, sir. Use it on yourself first, and then you can strengthen the brethren. unto God, which is my reasonable service. And then he says, prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove Jesus is. Prove the Word of God is. Prove what will convert you. Prove what will strengthen the brethren. He's saying for me to do it. He's saying for every child of God to do it. Prove it. Prove what I'm saying. Prove I'll give you this. Prove I'll give peace like a river. Prove I'll give you the strength. Prove I'll bless the ground to yield its strength. And I've already cursed it that it not yield its strength. That's what God said. He said, now, he said, when you obey me, he said, I'll command it to yield its strength. I'll bless even the ground that you walk on. Now, you talking about blessing the gospel church? You talking about churches being lively? You talking about some not having very many ministers and some of them have to import them? And not no home preachers. Have to import them. Some of them got idols that they keep in their laps. And they'll never set them out of their lap. They'll never turn their idols loose. And they look around and say, preacher, how come we ain't got no preachers? How come we have such a hard time getting a pastor? And I said, that little idol sitting in your lap right there, God ain't going to give you nothing till you purge it. And then God says, prove me. Prove me. He didn't say tempt me. He didn't say tempt me. God can't be tempted. He said, prove me. Obey my voice and prove me that I'll do what I said I'd do. Prove me by doing the work of God. Prove me by obeying. He says, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Why do you want to hear him? That you might find out what it takes to please God. Brethren, we ain't breathing just for fun. My heart ain't beating just because it needs to be beaten. Just a while back, I had an ailment and a sickness, and it got in my ear and got right next to my brain, and the doctor said, are you just about dead? He said, that infection getting in your brain is going to kill you instantly. Well, I went to the doctor, and I started praying, too. I prayed if it pleased the Lord to spare my life, that I prayed for him to spare my life. And the Lord blessed the doctors and the medicine, and I got well. But don't you know, just quick as I got well, the Lord come up. And he said, I want you to know something, little boy. He said, your time's up. He said, you would have died with that last illness. And your time on this earth done over and gone. He said, from now on, from this moment on, you're living on the Lord's time. Brother, I thank God that we're living on the Lord's time. And he says, when I say set up, you set up. When I say shut up, you shut up. When I give you something to speak, you speak. When I say run, you run. Whatever I say do, you do. And that's exactly what the whole Bible says. He's been saying it from the Garden of Eden till right now. He said it to every one of Israel. He said it to all the princes of Israel. He said it to his apostles. He said it to the prophets. You name one he didn't say it to. Brethren, he ain't failed to tell you. He ain't failed to tell me. I thank God that we're living on the Lord's time. This is the 1,000-year reign. This is the millennial. This is it, brethren. We're ruling and reigning with Christ right now. In the kingdom of God. And it's a spiritual 1,000 years. I thank God that he's given us the church for a purpose that we might glorify God by diligently reading and searching and feeling for God that we might find out what does please him. And he said, Jesus pleases me. Brethren, thank God he teaches us how to find Jesus. Now you're talking about finding the Lord. That old earthquake and that lightning and that thunder and all the things of this earth and this world is going to make a lot of racket. And if you ain't careful, you can't hear that still small voice of God. And neither can you tell the Spirit of God leading and guiding and directing you if we're listening to the carnal nature and Satan and following after the flesh. He said we got to be converted. And be converted from Satan and sin and defilement and uncleanness. Converted from darkness and the corrupt things of the flesh. Excuse me. And the carnal nature. That we might offer an offering in righteousness. And God says, I haven't got but one demand. And that's that body and that soul and that spirit which are mine. I bought it with a price of the life of my son. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. And he says, when you understand how to order it aright, how to order your speech aright, how to order your conversation aright, how to order your steps aright, with authority, with power and might of the Lord Jesus Christ, live by the faith of Jesus Christ, do everything by the power of Jesus' might. Now he said, Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead dwelling bodily in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we find Jesus, we're going to find the truth. We're going to find the Holy Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of truth. Jesus says he'll take that which is mine and he'll give it to you. He'll show it to you. He'll teach it to you. And when we find Jesus' righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, we found Jesus. When we find the rest for our souls in the kingdom of God, even in the truth, we found Jesus. When we find the love of God, the mercy of God, and we find all that the Godhead that dwells bodily in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we find it, in the kingdom of God, in our brothers and sisters, even the very thing that he says to be converted from the lust of the flesh and the world and the carnal corrupt thing, to be converted to the truth and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Comforter. And when I find it, I found Christ. Brethren, we're going to find him in the Word of God. We're going to find him in the printed Word. We're going to find him on our jobs. We're going to find him in the church, in every one of the brothers and sisters. We're going to find him everywhere where the truth abounds. Brethren, God said it must abound. If it don't abound, brethren, we ain't going to be strengthened. We're not going to be edified unless it abounds. It's got to abound in us. And when God says that it'll abound in us, and we see that it does abound in us, then we begin to bear fruit in the Lord Jesus Christ to the glory of God. You read your church histories and they'll say, oh, they had some able ministers back in them days. Well, you ain't got none now. Those Baptists were strong worshipers of the true God, true and living God. Well, ain't you got none now? Strong churches back in them days. Well, ain't we got none now? Look at all the things, the impression that they made in their lifetime, in their generation. Are we not making an impression? What are we doing now? What is this generation doing? Are we stronger than the generation before us, or are we weaker? John said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And God said the flesh will get weaker and weaker, but the inner man is to get stronger and stronger by the Word of God, by a willing mind and by a willing heart, by obedience. And it's been obedience from the Garden of Eden till this day and night. God says, if you obey my voice, obey my son, obey his voice, keep his commandments and do his holy will. Hear what he says today. What did he say? What did Jesus say today at the association? He said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Not every word that the preacher says, but what the Spirit says. In the midst of all that preaching, there better be a pearl. Or we have met in vain. We worship God in vain if there's not a pearl in the midst of all that preaching. If we're looking for the Holy Ghost to say something to us. We're looking for the Holy Comforter to say what is edifying for the church. What did you pray for tonight? To worship God acceptably? In the blood? To find out what pleased God? To hear what Jesus said? Let God give this brother grace to preach with light and liberty of the Holy Comforter, that we might hear what God has said to us by Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit? What are you looking for when this brother comes to the pulpit? We've got to look beyond mortality. We've got to look beyond the flesh. We've got to look to God to fill him and then bless him. When they came up with a few loaves and a few fishes, and they said, Lord, what's this among such a great multitude? Brethren, it didn't take but one blessing. And God fed that great multitude with that little few loaves and a few fishes. But before he done it, he'd done something that we want to remember the rest of our lives. He said, set them down in companies of 50. There's your local gospel church. Not in letter, but in the spirit. There's your little bitty local bodies, your little bitty churches, the little remnants. He said, set them down in 50s and then feed them. And brother, you're talking about what, Brother Heaven, we didn't hardly get a big crowd as we'd love to have tonight. I thank God if you got 50, you got them all. You got them all. He said, set them down in 50s and feed them. Feed them what? What God gives you to feed them. By the grace of God, even the Word of God, that which is edifying to the church, even to be converted. And if every last one of us ain't converted right now, we've met together in vain. God bless you, my prayer. Lord bless you.